This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So it's an amazing day today. Three people died to themselves. Yes. It's amazing. It reminded me of my time when I was baptized back in 2012. For me, it was really difficult. A difficult situation, a difficult decision. But praise God. And I congratulate you and thank you for being so faithful. I have to be very careful today because or else I will start walking on the water. So, yeah, I have been warned already about this one. But before we move into the sermon, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. Thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, that we can come together and worship your name, praise your name, lift up your name, Lord, because you are the only one worthy to be praised, Lord. Yes, Lord, as the last song we were singing, we want to seek you. We want to find you. We want to go behind you, walk along with you, Lord. We want to seek your presence, Lord. Lord, as we move into the sermon, speak to us, Lord. We will be faithful, Lord. Whatever you say, whatever you ask of, Lord, we will do. Because that's why we are living on this earth, Lord. Because your breath is in our lungs, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So those of you who don't know me, so I'll just give my a short introduction. My name is Banish Jha. I come from all the way from India, but not today I'm coming from India. It's been almost 2.5 years that I'm living in Netherlands. I come from a very small town in India. And with me, I have my wife, and we have a beautiful daughter of 10 months. That's about me, and I'm really honored today that God gave me the privilege to bring the word to you. And I believe that I have a firm belief, let me tell you, that when you will go back today to your home, things will be changed. And that's not my statement, that God is telling me. And yeah, things will change. So be prepared, tie your seat belts, and let's go. Let's dive in. So today the sermon is about quiet time. This is very necessary. When I was praying to God last week, I didn't know what word God wanted me to bring. I was praying. And somehow the Holy Spirit ministered to me that we are really missing the quiet time with God in our life. And it's really important. It's really important. It's necessary to spend quiet time, to have a secret place in our life, a secret time when we spend time with God. And today we will look how Jesus had secret time with Father, how he used to slip away from people and go and spend time with God. When I was thinking about this quiet time, it is a basic thing. It's a discipline which has to be there in a believer's life. And then when I was Googling it in the Webster's dictionary, it says, it is an indispensable discipline which is unavoidable. And today it is so sad that we as a believer, we know that this is an indispensable discipline. It's a basic thing, but we avoid it with a lot of our excuses. And what were the excuses? I can explain it to you with one example. I remember last year when my daughter was about to born, when my wife was pregnant, I used to wake up in the morning at around 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I used to pray. I used to spend time with God. I used to pray about well-being of my wife, about the well-being of my daughter. And of course, this was our first daughter. This was our first child. We were a bit nervous at the same time. But we trusted God, and I used to pray. And when everything was done, when the baby was delivered, everything was fine. There were a lot of things that changed in our life. And due to that, what happened, we were not getting sleep because the baby used to wake up in the night. We have to feed every 3 hours. It was really difficult. And I stopped waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning to spend time with God. And it was almost 1 month, 1.5 month that I could not spend time. Whenever I used to have a quiet time, I used to go and sleep. I did not have that secret time when there is no one with me, not even my wife, not anyone, and I'm just spending time with God. That was not something missing. And then one day, the Holy Spirit ministered to me, and it struck me at my heart, you know, when I saw my daughter, she was sleeping, and it struck me that how I was praying for her well-being, how I was praying for my wife's well-being. And when everything is on its place, today I do not have that time. I am not able to spend that time with God. So how selfish we are. How selfish we are in our life. And I had to testify this to you today. Because if I would have said that, no, I always spend my time with God, I would be the most hypocrite person in the world standing in front of you. So, yes, that's the selfishness that we have in our heart. When we need something, when we go to God, He is accessible. But when we have everything in our life, we feel like, we have a lot of things to do. We have to work. We have to wake up at 7 o'clock, make breakfast, do this thing, do that thing, attend the meeting, go work and do and drive and everything. You know, we do not have time. But we forget the most basic thing that we need to spend time with God, we avoid it. So I have few bunch of scriptures that I have taken from the Bible that shows us how it is important in our life to have a secret time, a quiet time with God in our life. And those scriptures are taken from the life of Jesus. So let's go to the first scripture, which is Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." I'll read it again. "Lord, teach us to pray." When he finished, one of his disciples, is amazing? When Jesus was praying, no one dared to disturb him. No one dared to interrupt him. The disciples who were the most closest to him, they were waiting for him that when he will be finished, they will go. And the most amazing thing I would like to point it over here is that they went and they asked, "God, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to walk on water." They didn't ask, "Lord, teach us to heal people." They asked, "Lord, teach us to pray. So isn't it amazing that they found Jesus praying? And when he was praying, everything was changing. They saw it when Jesus was on his knees. They saw it, and that's why they asked. For example, I don't play basketball. I have never played basketball. I'm not so sporty. But if I don't know how to play basketball, or if I'm not a skillful or a champion, no one will come to me and ask me, can you teach me how to play basketball? Even after maybe 1 month or maybe several years, my daughter will not tell me that, teach me how to play basketball, because she will be knowing that I don't play basketball. In the same way, the disciple knew that there is something which was happening when Jesus is to pray. And that really drew them to God, Jesus, and said, made them ask, like, teach us to pray. Because they knew that secret time when Jesus was when he was talking with Father, when he was praying, that was the time when he used to be filled with the power. He used to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll go to the next verse, which is taken from the Luke chapter 5, verse 16. We will see. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and pray. So he used to be lonely. He used to withdrew himself. We know when we go through the Bible, when we go through the New Testament, when we go through the ministry which was led by Jesus, we see that how he was surrounded every time with his disciples, either with lot of people lot of people who come for healing, who wants to listen to his teachings. He was always surrounded. And that's why it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let me tell you one thing. There are a lot of verses which shows us that how important it is to have a secret time with God, to have a quiet time with God. Today, nowadays, a lot of people say, if you ask them, do you have a secret time with God when no one is watching, you are just with God? They will say, no, I do not have that time, that much time for in the day, you know. I have the presence of God with me every time. So I do that. I speak to him every time throughout the day. That's true, but they don't understand. The presence of the Lord will come to you, are born out of that secret place, born out of that secret time. It's not like I do not have time to spend time with God and I just keep myself busy. It will not happen. The Holy Spirit will never come and enter into our heart. He cannot do that, because we need a dedicated time. We need a secret place. We need a secret time in our life where we will be spending the time with God. Even the closest person in our life won't be there with us. This reminds me of slipping away. Sometime when I have to do something, I have to work, or I have a meeting to attend at, say, for example, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What I do is generally my wife cooks the lunch and I do the dishes. So what I do is that when we are done with our lunch, I see the time, okay, it's maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes to 2. We are Indians, we have lunch at a bit late, not at 12. So somewhere around 2. I try to do the dishes fast because I want to go to the meeting. I want to attend the meeting. I want to slip away to the meeting. Sometime in the morning when my wife wakes up, I try to make the breakfast so quickly so that I just want to go and I have a meeting to attend at 9:30. So I want to sleep away. In the same way, can we think of sleeping away today with God from the busy schedule, the busy life that we have today? Take a moment in your life and think about you are surrounded by so lot of things to do, lot of things to do in our life, lot of things to handle, lot of things to do. From all those situations, from all those things, have we ever think of slipping away from those things and come to God, kneel down and pray? Because we forget that He is the only one through whom we can escape. We forget that He is the only one for Him and through Him we are living. He is the only one who can give us the strength. And when we don't do that, we try to solve problems, mitigate any kind of risk or anything that is coming in front of us with our fleshly power, with our own power. We forget that Jesus is the only one. God is the only one to whom we should go first, not to the rest of the world or not to the rest of the things that we have. We will see the next verse, which is taken from Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Later that night, He was there alone. This was the translation which I have taken from NIV. I took the same translation, different translation from King James. And in King James, in the same scripture, it says, when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. So He went apart. We have to take ourselves apart from the rest of the world. We will have to take ourselves apart from the people around us, the things around us who are trying always 24/7 to deviate us, to keep us busy with those things. For example, the social media. I don't know if you do Facebook or not. I do Facebook a lot. I will be honest. I do. I keep on seeing something or scrolling, at least scrolling. I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes or maybe half an hour a day I spend, maybe while going on the bed or maybe doing something or maybe in between the meeting I scroll like this, you know. I don't know about you, but I do. Is that not so bad? Is that not sin that we are slipping away with different things other than the work of God, other than what God has done on the cross of Calvary? We are just keeping it aside and we are busy with the worldly things. We will see the next scripture, next verse, which is Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, He called His disciples to Him and chose 12 of them, whom He also designated apostles. Have you ever made a tough decision in your life? Have you ever made? I'm sure you might have made a tough decision in your life. I have made tough decision in your life. For those decisions to be taken, have you ever spent whole night praying? If not, then I would say, behold, I have found a stronger person than Jesus. That's not required right now, right? Because Jesus died for us. And when he left Holy Spirit with us. His upper hand is with us. So that's not required. But the thing that over here I'm trying to emphasize is how much it was important for Jesus to have the decision, and he had to spend whole night praying. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that he spent the whole night to choose those 12 disciples? How much he was dependent on God. How much he was dependent on God. If we go through the scriptures, we will see, I have few scriptures now, but we will see how the ministry that was led by Jesus was filled with Holy Spirit. We will see in the scripture where Jesus says, I cannot do anything of my own. I do it with the desire of the will of my Father. If we stand here today, if we think about our life, how often do we run unto God, run towards him, kneel down and pray, Lord, I have these things to do today. I cannot start it because I have to start with you. I don't have any idea. I don't know what to do, God, what to speak, how to speak, what to say, whom to say, what to write, how to write, I don't know. You have to lead me. You have to speak with me. And I remember when back in 2019 when I met for the first time with a person, with a grandmother of my wife, she taught me one thing which I still remember, that God loves when we wrestle with him, when we spend time with him. When we say, God, you want me to go to that direction, I will go, but you have to walk with me. You have to come with me. You have to speak through me. It's not I who can do, God. You have to do, because it's for your glory. And I think that we are missing in our life today. We do not wrestle for things. We try to do it with our own power. And we fail. We fail. The reason is that that's why we fail. Because we try to do things with our own fleshly power. We do not go to God first. We do not ask God. Imagine a life that we are living. And if someone asks you, why did you went to that city? Why did you went to that country? And you would confidently say, because God told me. Imagine you are about to graduate and God just told you to stop. And you stopped, and people would say, like, why did you stop? You were about to graduate. And you say, because God told me. Imagine that time when you have hundreds of opportunities open for you are there in front of you, but God asks you to turn aside, and you turn aside because we forget that we are living for God's glory. We are not living for our own glory. We forget that we always try to find where is our glory. Where is the work that will give us the glory, that will give us the power? We try to find that, but we forget that we are living for him. In the next scripture that we have is taken from Matthew chapter 26. It was the time when Jesus was there in the Gethsemane. In 36 it says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.'" My brother and sister, corporate prayer is really important. But even there is something that when you start coming to a corporate prayer, you should have a time for a secret prayer. You should have a time for that quiet time with God. If you do not have time, you will be missing a lot of things. So that's why when I was preparing the sermon, I read somewhere, this person was telling, there is a big difference between being in the presence of God and absorbing the presence of God. There is a very big difference. And I think we are today, a lot of people are confused. Being in the presence of God and absorbing the presence of God. Let's read again the scripture. It says, "Then Jesus went with his disciple to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.'" Everyone is familiar with Gethsemane. That was the place where Jesus got his victory over the flesh. I haven't mentioned the scripture in the slide, but I will like to read from Luke chapter 22, verse 41 to 46. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 to 46. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, beyond the disciples, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like a drop of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from the prayer and went back to the disciple, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. He asked, "Why are you sleeping?" He asked them, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptations." Isn't it amazing? Jesus was praying. He is an incarnate Son of God. He was the Word which was made in flesh and came to save us. But we sometimes forget that he was a human being. 100% God and 100% human being at the same time. And that's why today he is our role model. Today, if you put me in a scale, and of course the Bible says that we will also be judged according to the commandments, and put the commandment on the other side of the scale, of course I will fail. But today, if you put me on scale and put Jesus on the other side of scale, I will fall on my face. He is our role model today, and we are missing it. We forget the dependence of him, how he was dependent on the Holy Spirit, how he was dependent for his ministry to God. And we see in the scripture, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." You know, the most dangerous prayer that a person can pray in his lifetime is to pray, "Father, make me like Christ." Because when we pray, when we say that, "Make me like Christ," we die to our desire. We die to our will. We die to our fleshly desire. We die to this world. We pray. When we pray, Father, make us Christ-like. When Jesus was praying, he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Can we pray, Father, tear me down, break me down, mold me, take away my everything, tear my life, but make me like Jesus. It's one of the powerful and one of the dangerous prayer a person can pray. And Jesus was praying. He knew that he will have to die, but still he was in flesh. Today, lot of cult who speaks against Christianity, who speaks against the deity of Christ, they say, of course Jesus knew that he was about to die, and it might happen that he did not had a lot of pain because he was God at the same time. But they forget the deity, that he was 100% human and 100% God at the same time. And I think somehow we forget, when we forget to spend time with God, when we prioritize other things over the time that we have with him, we want to have with him. We will go to the next scripture where Jesus tells us to be persistent in prayer, to keep on praying, to wrestle with him. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to him, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Here it says, Jesus, through the parable, he is telling us to be persistent in prayer. If we are asking God of something, or if we have something to pray, bring it unto God. Bring it. Don't do it yourself. Bring it unto him. That's the first thing that should come into our mind, into our heart. That, okay, if this is the thing that is standing in front of me, I will bring it to God. I will bring it to him, because he is the one, he will do it. And we often don't do that. What we do, we go through all the options that we have in our life, and then when we have no answers, we come to God. That's the last thing. We come to God. But that's not the correct way. The correct way is that we start with God. We won't have to go all through the options. He will show us. He will do it for us. He will guide us. And the most saddest, I would say, the saddest scripture I would regard it in the whole Bible is this, the last part where it says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will he find faith on the earth? So Jesus was telling to his disciples, my Father has sent me, and he is the same that he is going to help you. He is the same. He has given you the Holy Spirit in your life. Ask, you will receive it. Seek, you will find it. Knock, and the door will be open. But still, when the Son of Man will be coming, will he find faith? Will he find the secret time? Will he find the secret place in our life where we are spending time with him, when we are talking with him, when we are seeking him? The last song that we were worshiping, that your presence is the only thing that we will seek. I pray today that if we are not serious about his presence, for seeking his presence, let's change it today. Let the Holy Spirit turn it around. The most important thing in our life would be seeking his presence, seeking his will in our life. We will see from the couple of scriptures how Jesus was dependent on God. We see from Acts chapter 2 verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Jesus was a man through him God worked. So he didn't do anything out of his own power. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything out of his own will. His ministry was led by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, it's a very big statement. Lots of ministries are failing today because they are not led by the Holy Spirit. They are not led by the will of God. Let's see an answer from Jesus in the John chapter 5 verse 19. He says, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Can we say to ourselves, I cannot do anything. I don't have the power to stand up in front of you today. It's the power of the God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who is making me stand up. The breath that we are taking today, the breath that we are taking today, it's not from us, it's of God. Here we see Jesus, he is acknowledging his dependence. We have, a lot of countries have their own Independence Day. But we as a believer, we should not forget that we should always be dependent on God. We should always be dependent on him. He is the only one for us. If Jesus was dependent on God so much, then how much we should be dependent on God? How much we should be spending time with God? How much we should have the secret time in our life with God? And let me tell you one thing. When we start hearing the voice of God, it won't be a new thing. I remember a few weeks back when Renee was preaching, she was giving an example of some illustration which also touched my heart. And it's really practical that Simeon was telling that when for the first time when someone calls you and you ask like, who is it? And then the person say, okay, hi, this is Rian or something. And then you say, oh, okay, yeah, go ahead. And then you speak. And the next time again the person calls you, when you pick up and you hear his voice, you think like, this might be Rian. And you don't ask, and then he will say, and then you get the point, like, okay, he's Rian. The third time when you will call, when you hear his voice, you know this is Rian for sure. And this is what happens when we start spending time with God, when we start the secret place with God, when the Holy Spirit speaks with us, we start recognizing the voice. And throughout the day, whenever we walk, whenever we do something, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we ask you, this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me. This is what God is telling me. This is what God is telling me to do. This is what God is answering me. We are sure. It's not like you do not spend time with God. You do not have a secret place. You do not have a quiet place to hear his voice. And there are people who say, I cannot hear God's voice. Of course, you will not hear God's voice because you don't have a quiet time. Of course, you won't recognize voice. Someone will say, I don't know if God is telling me or it's me. I don't know, but I feel like. It's not the feeling. When God will speak, when the Holy Spirit will put a word in your heart, you are sure that it is from God because you recognize it. And remember at the same time, our God is not a God of confusion. Now we will see how Jesus was in the same way sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It says in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into wilderness. He was full of Spirit and he was led by the Spirit into wilderness. He could have said, I don't want to go to wilderness. Why would I go to wilderness? I am fine with my ministry over here. No, but he left everything and he went into wilderness because God wanted him to be in wilderness. Today, we should be in a position where if God wants us to walk somewhere or walk out of somewhere, we should be 100% sure and 100% confident that we will walk out. We see some of the evidence how the ministry which was led by Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. We see in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus is acknowledging, it's not me who is healing the people. It is God who is healing the people through me. It's not power. It's not my power who is healing the people. It's God's power through me who is healing the people. We see in the next verse, which is next scripture from, which is taken from Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. If power would have not been there with Jesus, he could not have healed the people. The power of the Lord was with him. When we start spending time with God, when we start, when we have that persistence, we have the character that grows in us that makes us very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And not only that, it also makes us sensitive to the spiritual realm. So that's why you will find lot of people, when they go into a place, they find like it's not good. The vibe is not good. I don't know if you have find it or not. I think it was maybe a month back when the shine was shining. Me and my wife, we went for a walk in the Utrecht Central. And I was walking and I shared this even in the I think it was 3 weeks back. I shared this in the Bible school. That when I was walking, I felt the spirit of lust. I felt the spirit of full of lust. It was there in the streets. And it is same. You will get that sensitivity. You will get to know that this atmosphere is not good. This is the place where I should proclaim the power of God. This is the place where I should pray for this place, for the people who doesn't know God. That's the sensitivity. We see in Luke chapter 6, verse 19, how sensitive was Jesus. And the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. In the same way, we see in Luke chapter 8, verse 46. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." This reminds me, when we have a ministry going on, when we have a ministry call after the service, I beg you, if your heart has something, if you have a burden in your heart, or if you want to have someone to pray for you, don't stop yourself. Come and pray at that moment, because the person who are standing over there are that time anointed and they are full of anointing. Because at least it happens to me, I lose that anointing when I go for the coffee, and after 1 hour, I lose that anointing. And if someone comes and tell me, like, can we pray? Yes, of course we can pray. But that time, that invitation, you missed it. And I want to thank you today and congratulate you, those who got baptized today, that you have accepted that invitation today. You have accepted that invitation that God invited you, and you have gladly accepted it. We will see another incident where Jesus was slipping away. In Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 34. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Let me tell you, the evil spirit, the bad spirit will know you. Wherever you go, the bad spirit will know you, that you are the Son of God. They will run away, or they will do some crazy thing in front of you. And you will know this is the spirit which is not from God. In the next verse we see, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." I would like to emphasize more on the verse 35, where it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Can you imagine? Sometimes when I go through the scripture, when I read the Bible, I try to make a picture in my mind, thinking about those times, you know. And if I read this verse, it says, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. Like, there were a lot of people. Then it means there were a lot of people. And it was night when those lot of people came to him. So they might have not left that place. They might have just slept maybe in some other tent or in other places. And it might be a late night when Jesus finished all his work and he went maybe for sleeping. I don't know how many hours he might have slept, maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. But in the morning when it was still dark, he woke up and he went to pray. It says that Jesus was the only man who could have said that time, God, I have done all your will. I have done whatever you want. I have done from morning 6 o'clock till 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. I have done your will. I have healed the people. I have healed those demon-possessed people. It's time for me to take rest. Let me sleep for next 8 hours and then I will go back. But it was not the case. He woke up when it was still dark. And he went to pray. Jesus was a man of prayer, this says. He was having that secret place in his life where he used to withdrew himself from the crowd and pray to God. And that gave him the power to lead the ministry. I got a very good thing when I was preparing the scripture. There is a person whose name is Matthew Poole, and he has a commentary. And he says, we have more business to do with God in prayer than Jesus. Why? For Jesus did not have any sin to ask or to confess. And we are full of sin. So, I read it somewhere where Martin Luther says, I have a lot of work to do, throughout the day. And I will have to pray 3 hours continuously to start that work, to begin with that work, to go through those work. So I will do it now. You know? So that thing should be there in our heart. If we are going to start something, if we are going to do something, we should start with God. We should start with Him. We should have that communion. Today we were going to have communion, but unfortunately, we will not have it today. But the communion I'm talking about is the communion with God in your personal time, in your secret time. I can come maybe once in a month and preach and share God's word and go back. But if I don't have that personal secret time in my life, it is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. And we cannot walk in flesh without acknowledging His dependence for a long time. The things that yesterday I went to meet one of my colleague, my old colleague. I asked him, how is it with your work? And he said, you know what? Earlier I used to work till 7 o'clock in the evening and 8, try to finish the task that was given to me. But gradually I felt like this thing will always be there. If I finish a task today, tomorrow again I will get a task and I will have to work for the whole day till 7 o'clock and then I cannot stop and again I will continue. So the work will always be there, you know. So I have stopped working at 5. In the same way, these distractions, these things will be always there in our life till the day we are on the earth. These distractions, this will be there in our life. It will be somewhere around us. But if we do not prioritize, we will miss a lot. I just want to remind you again that if we do not have a quiet time with God, if we do not have that secret place in our life where no one is watching us, no one is watching us, it's only you and God. It's only you and God. You won't make it to that place. We need to have that. We cannot avoid that time with God. And if we say that we are follower of Jesus Christ, we have the example, the role model, how he was dependent on God, how he used to slip away to be with God. Before I finish the sermon, I would like to ask you today, take time, think about it. Do you have a quiet time? Do you have that secret place in your life, or are you missing it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this word, Lord, that you reminded us that we need you, that we are dependent on you. Lord, maybe we forget, but thank you that you reminded us, Lord, that it's you, for you, Lord, that we are living. And you are our first priority. The otherworldly things, Lord, they cannot deviate us, Lord. They cannot take us away from you. Lord, I pray for each and every one who is watching us online, or each and every one who is over here, Lord, that touch their heart, Lord. Speak to them, Lord, that the secret time with you will not be a labor, will not be a pain. The prayer, Lord, will not be a pain to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that lead them to that secret place. Give them that hungerness so that we will slip away to be with you always, Lord. Because we can only rest with you, Lord. You are the place where we can rest. You are the one through whom we can escape, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We are going to have two songs. If you have anything to pray, or if you want someone to pray for you, or if you have anything, please don't go. We have a saying in India. I don't want to repeat that, but I will just say, what does that mean? That when you are given an opportunity, take that opportunity, grab that opportunity, and take out all the juice that it has. So if you have come today, that means God had an appointment with you. If something is there in your heart, don't let it stop you. Bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.